what are unhappy cranberries called? Blueberries. Yeah, that one was super cheesy. But I still love it because it totally fits today's theme for the episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Starting Sustainability. This is episode 154, and I am your host, Kaylin Chenoweth. It has been a while since we chatted, so first we are going to catch up with Kaylin and all of the craziness in my life. We did survive the trip to Florida and back. It was two long days in the minivan on the way down, 5 days there, three of which were rainy and cold, a high of 50 to 60 degrees, which means it was in the 40s and 50s the majority of the time. That's cold for Florida standards. We packed shorts and t-shirts, and everybody had one sweatshirt, so we were chilly. And then there were two extra long days driving back because we had to add in holiday travelers that clogged up the roads and created extra delays. So that was a lot. On Sunday on our drive back, all of us were over being in the van, which only made the trip even longer. Then we got a call from the family member checking in on our cats, fish, and chickens. And they discovered that Muffin, our cat, had passed away. I don't believe I really talk about our cats too often, but we have two, Stud and Muffin. They are brother and sister, and we've had them for 9 years. So after the long, long drive home, we were exhausted, and it was half snowing and half raining when we pulled up into the driveway. We unpacked the van and then had to prep for the next week because it was Sunday night. So we had to get ready for Monday the next day, get ready for school and daycare and work and find time to take care of the cat who was in the garage at that point in time. And for the next 2 days, Stud, the cat, meowed nonstop and paced around trying to find his sister. It was very heartbreaking. So we did have a good Thanksgiving and celebration with family and friends and got to see everybody. We hadn't been to Florida for almost 5 years, so it was really nice to see everybody. It just kind of ended on a sad note. And honestly, we have no idea what happened to her. We're guessing it was some disease that she picked up from a stray cat. Our cats hang out in the house and in the garage. And they will dip outside the garage area to the yard every once in a while. Stud does not. He's a homebody. He doesn't leave the garage. But Muffin would go out and adventure around. And I'm guessing that she had an encounter with a stray cat and probably got some disease. It just happened real fast, so we're not sure. Maybe it was a tumor. Maybe it was cancer or feline leukemia. No idea. Just no idea. We did make an appointment with the vet and had Stud checked out and got him vaccinated for everything just to be extra sure. I guess I don't know if this is worth sharing or not, but we tend to go to Tractor Supply, which is like a farm and feed store near us, and buy vaccines there. And you can buy cat vaccines and use that. And after this event, we did a lot of looking into it, which we should have done beforehand in hindsight, but what's done is done, and I can beat myself up about it, but the end result is still there. But I guess the vaccines at Tractor Supply only cover like 3 different diseases, and there's a whole lot more. So we got the full set of vaccines to help protect Stud and at least keep him safe and prevent another tragedy like this. Sorry to kick off this episode with some sad news. So we will now move along and change topics. I'd like to share that right before we went to Florida for Thanksgiving, we bought a camper. This has been a discussion in our family for quite some time now, years. About 6 years ago, we discussed living in a tiny home or camper. It was just Channing and I at that point. And Channing was going to travel as an electrician, and I was going to tag along and sell Mary Kay. Because at that point in time, I was ready to quit the job that I had had at that point in time. And we were ready for a big change. We wanted to change our lifestyles, and tiny house living was really big on HGTV. I think that was the network, whatever. That was a big show. We watched it, so we wanted to live that dream. Anyways, never did. I ended up finding my current job that I've had for 16 years now and totally love, but somehow the conversation of owning a camper just keeps coming back up. I think it's because Channing watches a lot of YouTube and sees a lot of people living in campers and is just obsessed with it. That's what I think is going on, but you know, I don't know everything. Anyways, the planner and person who wants to think it through and avoid mistakes and be efficient and make sure that everything we're doing is the right move for us and our family, I insisted that we need to rent one or borrow one and go on a camping trip for a weekend first before we bought one. In the end, we got it from a friend of a friend, and it was about $6,000 below retail value, so it was such a good deal, we just couldn't pass it up. So now we own a camper, and we have never been camping. Off to a good start. Let me continue this story. Our current truck is paid off, but it is very strained pulling the camper. It's an F-150. We need more power. So now we need a new truck in order to pull this camper. Also, I have shared all of the issues that we have had with our van, and twice we have tried to trade it in, but just couldn't quite make the deal work because we would be upside down with negative equity, and it just didn't make financial sense. So those deals fell through. So now we are going to trade the paid off truck and the minivan. Which, by the way, when we were driving the minivan down to Florida and back for Thanksgiving, it would jerk really hard whenever it auto-shifted the gears from second into third. From first into second and second into third, you would just feel it go, like a big lunge trying to make that shift, which we thought, oh, great. Now the transmission is getting questionable. We really need to get rid of this van. Now we are trading in two vehicles for this new to us, but it's still used, truck, because by having the truck paid off, it helps absorb some of the negative equity from the minivan, so it's not as bad. The trade-in deal is going down this weekend. Hasn't happened yet, so we shall see if it's going to turn out all right or if it falls apart like the last few attempts to get rid of the minivan did. The plan is to take the camper to Texas for our Christmas visit. Again, I planned it all out. We had a whole entire discussion about how important it is to go camping in our camper to learn about it and all the things that we're going to need to have a camper and live in it for a whole week, like get a little test run. What are the things we're going to need, like a broom and a dustpan and a toaster and pot holders and bed sheets and toilet paper, all these things. We agreed we would do this test run before going to Texas. That also has not happened yet. We have 2 weekends left before we leave for Christmas, and we have a long list of things to accomplish before we can do that. Also, Channing is going to be traveling for work for one of those weekends. So now we're down to 1 weekend to get all of this figured out, plus get everything else ready that needs to be done around the house. What does all this mean? It means that we're insane. We are going camping for the first time in a new-to-us camper that we don't know very well across the country and pulling it all the way across the country for an entire week. We are not good at just dipping our toe in and kind of figuring it out. We're just going to dive in headfirst right into the deep end with cinder blocks attached to us, it feels like, at this point. How am I handling this? At first, I was very stressed and had a lot of anxiety about it, and at this point I've just decided to accept it and not worry, and we're just gonna go into it open-minded and be flexible and adaptable and prepared that we're gonna have to make a lot of stops and go shopping at Walmart or Dollar General and get whatever it is that we forgot to pack along the way, because it's always great to go shopping literally a few days right before Christmas while pulling a camper. It's just so easy to navigate parking lots. This is such a bad idea. This whole thing is a bad idea. We are gluttons for punishment. There is one slight positive silver lining here. When we were looking for a new truck, new to us truck, more powerful truck, I insisted that the front seat, the front had to be a row, a bench seat up front, so you can fit three people up front and three in the back. And Channing agreed. The rationale behind this is Channing and I would sit up there, three kids in the back, and then when we have a fourth kid, then there is a spot. Obviously, Corbin, the oldest, would then go up front, and the fourth kid would go in the back. But we are getting a six-seater pickup truck, which there are not a lot of those. That was very hard to find, believe it or not. And Channing was on board and did find one. He's not 100% agreed to a fourth kid yet. I'm working on it. But this does lead me to believe that we're one step closer. As for my working life, my working world, my coworker had her baby. Congratulations, Kayla. She had baby Creek, a little boy. His name is Creek Fisher, and he's very cute and adorable, which means she's out on maternity leave and I am on double duty for the next 8 weeks. We are also encountering many business changes that have really revved up the HR world. So it has been super busy and fast-paced and high stress at work. My days are very packed and fly by quickly, which is good. And that's part of the reason why I've chosen not to stress about this whole camper to Texas for Christmas vacation thing. I've got enough other things to worry about, and I'm just tired of being stressed out. So I'm just literally going to let it go with the camper situation, and we'll just focus one day at a time between work and personal life and do a lot of deep breathing, meditating and praying, and just trying to remain calm and get through it all. Oh, and I forgot to mention earlier, so I was talking about the cats. Ruger, our dog, has some kind of horrible coughing hack. And he's been vaccinated against kennel cough and the canine flu, which narrowed it down to this new respiratory virus. This coughing hack has been around since May. And at the time, we just took him to the vet and then took him back and then took him back. And we spent over $1,000 not fixing it. He just has this continued horrible coughing hack that sounds wretched. It's loud. It wakes us up like 8 times a night. For real, that's not an exaggeration. He is coughing and hacking all day long and all night long. And he has snot coming out of his nose endlessly, to the point he's just licking his nose nonstop because the snot is just pouring out of it. And then he'll sneeze and shake his head, and the snot will fly and land on the walls and on the doors. And while he's shaking his head and he's sneezing, the snot strings fly all around his face. And we have to get a washcloth and wipe him down. I have to go around with rags and wipe down the walls and the floors because the snot has flown all over them. It's really disgusting. We came back from Thanksgiving and realized this has been going on since May. We're about 6-7 months of this now. We'll take him back to the vet and really figure out what the heck is going on, because it has gotten worse. And the vet was informing us of this new respiratory virus that has been around for a few months, which I'm like, it has totally been around way longer. He just didn't have a name for it yet, hadn't been diagnosed. And as I'm talking about it with other people in my life, friends and family and coworkers, there are a lot of dogs who have this. Of course, there is no vaccine against it. There is no treatment. The treatment is a round of antibiotics as a preventative measure to prevent any other infection from coming aboard, and cough medicine. And then just wait for it to wear itself out. And once your dog gets it, it has it for a long time. If you have dogs and you're planning on boarding them because you might be doing some holiday travel, you may want to reconsider. Just letting you know that this virus is out there and it is painful for the dog and for the humans, because it lasts such a long time, and it is tough to see your beloved animal just cough and hack and choke and sound like they're dying all the time, around the clock. It's important to not only care for your animals, but you need to care for yourself as well. With New Year's coming soon, I thought I would share some pretty cool information that I learned. As a registered dietitian, I have to take continuing education units to help maintain my license and basically stay up to date with everything that's going on. I attended a virtual seminar and learned about the MIND diet, and I found it so fascinating, and I was really excited to share it with everybody on the podcast. And honestly, I was thinking about what am I going to cover for this episode, and at this point, I've really covered how to have a sustainable Christmas and holiday season. There isn't a whole lot new stuff to bring to the table, and many people are going to start focusing on New Year's resolutions, or in my case, New Year's bucket list. And many people will focus on health and wellness, and I thought that this would just be really fitting for the topic. When it comes to health and wellness for New Year's resolutions, most people tend to think about weight loss. Let's be honest. That's really what they think of. I'd really like to redirect that to mental health and wellness, and not just where you go to therapy or do self-care, but what foods you eat to really keep your brain healthy and sharp and prevent cognitive and neurological decline. The MIND diet was developed by Martha Claire Morris and colleagues at Rush University Medical Center and Harvard School of Public Health, which means it's not a fad diet. This is a legit science-based diet proven to have beneficial results. I want to back it up just a little bit. When I was in college taking nutrition classes and earning my dietetics degree, the DASH diet was the new diet that was the best because it lowers hypertension, cardiovascular events, high cholesterol, inflammation, oxidative stress, obesity, improves insulin sensitivity, and diabetes. It was the diet that was applicable to most issues that people have food-related wise when they're not eating properly. So if you followed the DASH diet and ate under those rules and regulations, basically you would fix a lot of nutrition-related issues. Soon after I graduated with my nutritional science and dietetics degree, the Mediterranean diet came on the scene and was really popular with registered dietitians because it has been proven to reduce cardiovascular events, diabetes, depression, blood pressure, inflammation, and oxidative stress. These are both really good diets to follow. I'm clarifying that because not all diets are good. In fact, most fad diets are terrible and cause damage. These two diets, and let me clarify, diet means types of food you eat. It's the pattern of the foods that you eat. Diet does not mean weight loss. So when I'm talking about the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diet, these are not designed to be weight loss diets. I think that's what most people think of. So that's why I wanted to clarify. It's just saying this is the way to eat. This is the pattern of eating. And a lot of the fad diets that you hear about are really strict, and it's you have to follow these rules for the diet for 6 weeks or 3 months. And these diets I'm talking about, the Mediterranean diet and the DASH diets, these are wonderful and great because this is a lifelong diet. It's not a punishment to go on it. It's literally teaching you this is how you should be eating all of the time. This is sustainable and well-received within the dietetic community because it is nutritional beneficial. It's so great. These are great diets. They're good. They outdo all the stupid fad diets. This is what we want people to focus on. Now, the MIND diet is coming up. What is the MIND diet? M-I-N-D. MIND diet is Mediterranean DASH intervention for neurodegenerative delay. So M is Mediterranean DASH, I intervention for in neurodegenerative D delay. M-I-N-D. MIND diet. Now you know why we call it the MIND diet. It's a very long title otherwise. If you have been following either the DASH or Mediterranean diet plans, then you have been doing it right. The MIND diet is basically a hybrid of the best parts of these two other diets with a few little tweaks to help focus on cognitive health. The MIND diet is not a cure, and it won't prevent cognitive decline either. It will slow it down. So if you have genetics predisposed to Alzheimer's dementia, the genetics are still there. We can't change that with food, But there are food items that will speed up cognitive decline, and then there are food items that will slow it down. And that's where this diet comes in. There are many, many studies supporting this diet, and instead of going through all of those, because let's be honest, they're really boring to read and learn about. Fascinating, but they don't exactly make for a great conversation and topic. So I'm just going to share the highlights. Basically, sugar intake is linked to doubled risk for dementia, and this is by some observational studies. This includes sugar-sweetened beverages, snacks, packaged desserts, juice, candies, and cereals. This leads to 2 to 3 times higher risks. Other observational studies focused on flavanols, and those were linked to slower cognitive decline. Flavanols are found in food sources like leafy green vegetables, other vegetables, and berries. These two highlights I just discussed. Basically, increased sugar intake is bad for the brain, increased flavanols is good for the brain. Those are the basis of the MIND diet. I'm going to give an overview of the MIND diet, and then we'll go back and discuss each one in a bit more depth. So here's what is good for your brain. Unsaturated fats. I think most people understand that there are good fats and bad fats. The unsaturated fats are the good fats. That would include extra virgin olive oil, and you want to eat that daily, nuts and seeds, you want to have that 5 times a week. Eating these unsaturated fats will provide what we call MUFAs, M-U-F-A, which is monounsaturated fatty acids. Those are beneficial, vitamin E, polyphenols, as well as PUFAs, P-U-F-A, which is polyunsaturated fatty acids. And that would be your ALA, omega-3 fatty acids. Those are all great to eat. The next category is lean proteins. Again, you're going to have your good meats. You're going to have your good proteins and your bad proteins. The lean proteins are what we want. This is your fish and seafood at least once a week, poultry twice a week. What are you getting from eating these foods? Your PUFAs, polyunsaturated fatty acids, like DHA omega-3s, and B vitamins like folate and B12. The next category is your carbs. Again, there's good carbs and there's bad carbs. These are the good carbs, the healthy carbs. This would be your whole grains. You want to eat those 3 times a day. Beans and legumes, 3 times a week. You want to eat those. What are you getting from eating these food groups? Fiber and, again, B vitamins like folate and B12. And then the next category is vegetables and fruit. So there are leafy green vegetables specifically. They want you to eat those daily, as well as other vegetables. So basically anything that's a vegetable that is not a leafy green. Other vegetables, eat those daily. And berries, specifically berries for the MIND diet, 5 times a week. What are you getting out of eating these foods? You're getting carotenoids like alpha and beta carotene, lutein, zeaxanthin, and lycopene, and you're also getting flavonoids like anthocyanin and pelargonidin, which is found in strawberries. The last category is wine, and you can drink that daily. Now, let me clarify, I am not a drinker, I don't drink. And it is the stance of registered dietitians, if you do not drink, we are not encouraging you to drink. It's literally noted here, not recommended to begin drinking if you don't currently consume alcohol. So if you're not a drinker, don't worry about it. If you are a drinker, then wine in moderation, like 1 glass each day, that's moderation, not the entire bottle, a regular, normal, standard wine glass each day, that will provide flavonoids like anthocyanin and resveratrol. These are all the foods that are great for your mind and your brain and your cognitive function. What are the foods that are not so good? All the things that you love to eat. Butter, not so good. Fried foods, nope. Full fat cheese, also on the list. Red meats and processed meats, again, not beneficial for your brain. And last is sweets and sweet drinks. Sorry. I'm chuckling a little bit to myself because I'm literally imagining my brain versus my husband's brain. Mine is the one with all the healthy fruits and vegetables and all the foods that I just described that you should be eating. And then my husband eats the complete opposite. I don't know what that entails. What does that mean 50 to 60 years from now? We're gonna have very different brains, that's for sure. Okay, that was the overview that I wanted to share with you. So now I'd like to go in further detail if you want to learn a little bit more. First, I'd like to review serving sizes because in the nutrition world, everything's about your serving size, and not everybody understands what a serving size is. And this is a podcast, so I have no visual aids. I have to describe it to you. So here's what I've come up with. When it comes to fruits and vegetables, you want to eat about a half a plate. So if you take your normal dinner plate and you cut it in half, you want half of that to be your fruits and vegetables. And then we're going to focus on which kinds of fruits and vegetables to put in there. But if you need a visual aid, if you take your hand and ball it up into a fist, you need two fists. That's how many fruits and vegetables you want on your plate. Then you want carbohydrates, the good carbs that I talked about. This is going to be 1/4 of your plate, and that is going to be one fist. So if you have a scoop of beans, these good carbs, you want the scoop of beans to be the size of one fist. And then the next is your proteins. That should be the other 1/4 of your plate. So half of your plate is fruits and vegetables, 1/4 is good carbs, 1/4 is lean proteins. A serving size of lean protein is the palm of your hand. So open up your hand, undo the fist, open it up, take a look at it, remove the fingers and the thumb, and the palm, that's your serving. And this works very well because if you're a smaller person, you don't need as much. And you're, as a smaller person, you're going to have a smaller hand. And as a bigger person, you're going to need a little bit more food. But bigger people have bigger hands. So this is proportional to your body size. And then when it comes to fats, the good fats, like the extra virgin olive oil or nuts, a serving size there is the size of your thumb. That's the amount that you're going to want. And you're going to want 1 to 2 of those. So this is for your meal. That's what you're looking for size-wise. That should help with your serving sizes. Now the details of the food. For the MIND diet specifically, you want leafy green vegetables, 1 serving a day. What counts as a leafy green vegetable? Well, that would be dark leafy greens such as spinach, kale, collards, Swiss chard, mustard greens, turnip greens, dandelion greens, hey, foragers, arugula, endive, grape leaves, romaine lettuce, spring mix, mixed greens, bok choy, all of that stuff. What does not count is iceberg lettuce. That one does not count, which is like the only lettuce that my husband will eat. Go figure. Anyways, you have to have a serving of leafy greens, at least 1 a day. That's your goal. And then there's other vegetables. You also want a serving of those every single day. Other vegetables, long list here. It's pretty much everything else, but I'll go ahead and give you some examples. Asparagus, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, celery, eggplant, green beans, bib lettuce, mushrooms, onions. Oh, I'm not going to have an entire serving of onions, but I can have those mixed in with some things. Okra, pumpkin, snow peas, squash, bell peppers, sweet potatoes, tomatoes, and yams, and then etc., because there's a whole lot more. So what does not count as other vegetable would be white potatoes and vegetable juice. You want to get the real whole entire vegetable. Now, this is for the MIND diet specifically. I'm not saying that you're not allowed to have iceberg lettuce and you're not allowed to have white potatoes. I'm just telling you, for the MIND diet, if you're really focused on your mind, other vegetables are more beneficial. Next one is berries. This is 5 servings a week. You want berries. This is about a half of a cup if you're into measuring. So half of your fist would be berries. What counts here are blueberries, strawberries, raspberries, blackberries. What does not count are dried berries and cranberry sauce. What I'm not sure about is other berries that you would find out in the wild that you can eat. When I say that, like that you can forage, because I'm really big into foraging. I'm not sure. It's not on this list. And that's mostly because the average person doesn't go foraging. So they're going to list out berries and food items that are commonly found in the grocery store and that most people have easy access to. Okay, back to the the nitty-gritty. Healthy fats like your extra virgin olive oil. You want 2 servings a day. That's the size of your thumb, 1 tablespoon, and you want 2 of those a day. So you want 2 thumbs a day. I'm not just saying give yourself a tablespoon of extra virgin olive oil and swallow it down. You use this when you're cooking your food. You can make a salad dressing to go on top of all of your vegetables. That's how you would incorporate it in. What you're wanting here specifically is the oil used in dressings or for sautéing or other forms of cooking. What does not count is the olive oil cooking spray or the butter olive oil blends. We're looking for pure extra virgin olive oil. That is it. For nuts and seeds, you want 5 servings per week. 1 serving is 1 ounce of nuts or 2 tablespoons of nut butter, and that would be your thumb or 2 thumbs, basically. What counts here as a nut? A whole lot of things. Almonds, walnuts, cashews, peanuts, pistachios, and nut butters. Also pumpkins. Oh, seeds would be pumpkin seeds, chia, flax seeds, sunflower, hemp, and seed butters, such as your sunflower seed butter. What does not count would be nut milks or nut yogurts, candied nuts, or powdered peanut butter. That would be the stuff that's inside of your Reese's cup. So that does not count. Yes, I am aware peanuts are technically legumes. They are included in the nut category due to their nutrient profile. For fish and seafood, you want 1 serving a week. Remember, when it comes to the proteins, you want the palm of your hand. That's what you're looking for. What counts as fish is salmon, tuna, tilapia, cod, mahi-mahi, halibut, scallops, clams, oysters, shrimp, and lobster. What does not count is when you fry it. So fried fish and fried shellfish is a no-no. That's what my parents do. They always try to get fried stuff. Like, it was healthy until you deep fried it. Now it's not healthy anymore. What we're looking for here specifically is the omega-3 fatty acids, and the fish with the highest concentration of that would be salmon, albacore tuna, sardines, anchovies, and mackerel. All the fish is good. I'm just saying those have the highest concentration of the omega-3 fatty acids. For poultry, you want about 2 servings a week, again, about the size of your hand. What counts would be skinless white meat chicken or turkey, deli-style chicken or turkey, ground white meat chicken or turkey. What does not count is fried poultry. So fried chicken is a no. Deep fried turkey for Thanksgiving is a no. The dark meat of either of those birds and duck, whether it's light or dark. Also, the skin does not count. I don't know if anybody does that. I can't stand it. Whenever I have chicken, I have to peel the skin off. I can't stand eating it. But I'm just letting you know, that does not count. Don't eat that. The next up is whole grains. You want 3 servings per day. What counts as a whole grain would be whole grain breads, such as whole wheat and dark rye, brown or wild rice, whole grain pasta, quinoa, barley, bulgur, farro, oats, whole grain cereal, whole grain crackers, popcorn, and corn tortillas. What does not count is anything that is labeled as enriched wheat products. You want to look for the word whole to be first on the list of ingredients, whether it is whole grain, whole wheat, whole corn, whole oat. That's what you're looking for when you flip it over and look for ingredients. You want whole to be in there. If whole is not there, then it is not a whole grain. Beans and legumes is the next category. 3 servings per week. What counts as a bean would be black beans, pinto beans, cannellini, kidney, lima, red white beans, and navy beans, chickpeas, lentils, split peas, tofu, edamame, tempeh, and hummus. These all count. What does not count as a bean would be soy yogurt or processed soy-based meat substitutes. Those do not count. And then the last one is wine, which is 1 serving per day, which is a 5-ounce glass. Just to clarify that the serving is the glass, not the entire bottle. I already said that joke, but I'm just reiterating because I've had many people ask me. What counts as wine would be red wine, white wine, or sparkling wine. What does not count is dessert wine. You're not going to get the same nutritional benefits from that. And again, limit your total alcohol consumption to no more than one drink per day for women and no more than two drinks per day for men. And again, I want to reiterate, if you're not a drinker, don't start drinking just for this. If you're not a drinker, then you'll get your nutrients needed for your mind from other food sources. Now we will go in detail on the foods to limit. I'm not saying avoid, just limit. So you can still have these, but don't go crazy. We really want to reduce these. We want to improve all the stuff I just talked about, eat more of those, and definitely eat less of what I'm about to talk about. First up, red meat and processed meat. Ugh, my husband's heart just broke. You want 0 to 3 servings per week. The less, the better. What counts as red meat would be beef, roast beef, steak, hamburger, pork, pork belly, ham, lamb, hot dogs, sausages, bacon, bologna, salami, pepperoni, and Canadian bacon. That's like all of his favorites. He doesn't listen to this podcast, but man, I know that he would just, if he was listening to this right now, he'd be very mad. Okay, the next category to reduce is butter and stick margarine. What counts as butter would be salted or unsalted butter, margarine sticks, butter, olive oil blends. Avoid those. Full fat cheese. Sorry, I know cheese is super tasty. We really want to avoid that. 0 to 2 servings per week at a max, but try to reduce that as much as possible. Cheeses would include full fat mozzarella, Parmesan, cheddar, Colby, ricotta, cottage cheese, cream cheese, and all other whole milk cheeses. So if you're going to eat cheese, that's fine. Focus on low fat or fat free cheeses. Next up is fried foods. Again, 0 to 1 meal per week. So really, really just don't even eat them. Just avoid them. Okay, what counts as a fried food? Any deep fried food, anything such as potato chips, tortilla chips, french fries, fried chicken or other fried meat, falafel, hush puppies, empanadas, all of those count. If you have a food item that is pan fried, sauteed or air fried, that's okay. So if you don't have an air fryer already, you could get one. If you don't have an air fryer and if it's not easy for you to get one, then you can take a lot of items and bake them in the oven and get a very similar result. And then the last category of foods to limit would be sweets, pastries, and sweet drinks. 0 to 4 servings a week. Just reduce. Just try to reduce. You don't want to eat a lot of these. Now here's what counts as sweets. Biscuits, cakes, sweet rolls, pies, donuts, cookies, brownies, candy bars, ice cream, pudding, milkshakes, and sugar-sweetened beverages such as regular sodas, sports drinks, energy drinks, sweetened waters, coffees with all your sugar and creamer, and teas that are sweetened. You know how Channing's heart broke at the red meats? I have a sweet tooth. That's my weakness. I have a hard time with that, so I will reduce as much as possible. I would like to reiterate that food and nutrition are not the only factors when it comes to cognitive health. Yes, we want you to eat right, but there are also many other things to do to help keep your brain sharp. Physical activity is the first one we're going to talk about, specifically cardiovascular health, because it benefits your brain by increasing sensitivity to insulin, enhances circulation and blood flow to the brain, and it improves metabolic activity. It promotes neuroplasticity in the hippocampus, which is basically the brain's ability to create new neural connections. It also releases brain-derived neurotrophic factor, BDNF. What this does is it encourages growth of new brain cells, and it's responsible for long-term memory function. When it comes to exercising, it is encouraged for you to do aerobic exercise 4 times a week, 30 to 35 minutes each, and that would include an aerobics class, treadmill, elliptical trainer, spin class, something to get your heart rate elevated. You also want to focus on strength training 2 times a week for about 15 to 20 minutes each. This would include weight machines, free weights, handheld weights, and resistance bands. And then the last one is stretching, balance, range of motion. Twice a week, 10 to 15 minutes each. That's just easy stretching, easy yoga, tai chi. And of course, these are just examples. There are a whole bunch of other types of exercises that fit these categories that you can do as well. Do something that brings you joy. That is the exercise that you should do. Something that makes you happy that you enjoy doing. Because if you don't like doing it, you're not going to do it. You may not be able to get all of that recommended activity in. Just do what you can. Because basically, any form of exercise is better than none of it at all. The other factor related to brain health is your social connection. Having a social life increases cognitive reserve, and it has been proven that isolation increases risk for dementia. You want to go out, you want to be social, you also want to challenge your brain. Active learning can improve memory, speed of thinking, finding words, and capacity to listen. Another factor is sleep hygiene. Yes, you need proper sleep to keep your brain healthy. And the last one is happiness. This includes optimism and a sense of purpose. If you have enjoyed learning about the MIND diet and want to get more details on what was discussed here, there are some books written by Dr. Martha Claire Morris. That's the person who studied the research, conducted her research, and put together the MIND diet. The books are called The Official Mind Diet and Diet for the Mind, both written by Dr. Martha Claire Morris. When I heard about this, I found it very fascinating. I have parents in their 80s. My parents are in their 80s. My husband's family, my in-laws, they're older. And there's always a concern for people, the older generation, losing their mind. And I just found this fascinating and very applicable, at least in my world. And hopefully you'll find it applicable in your world and can help educate yourself and your family members and friends to continue preserving everyone's cognitive abilities and keeping everybody sharp as long as possible. It's now time for the challenge. My challenge to you is to not fret or stress about schedules and deadlines, decorations and planned activities and the perfect Christmas and holiday season. I want you to focus on enjoying the holidays. Spend time with your family and make great memories. The next episode, well, to be honest, I want to enjoy the hustle and bustle of the holiday season just like everybody else. So we will take our annual trip to Texas, most likely with the camper. And I will talk to everybody again in January 2024. Until then, have a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays, and continue to stay sustainable and save the world. And I will talk to you all again in January.